Welcome to this segment of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Alan Wanger, retired professor from Duke Medical School, and our topic is the Shroud of Turin, which is believed to be the burial cloth of Jesus Christ. And if it is, it is believed to basically be scientific evidence for the resurrection of Christ. Dr. Alan Wanger has been studying the Shroud for really a few decades now, and as I say, he is a medical doctor retired from Duke. Dr. Wanger, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be with you again.
Now, CNN, in a couple months ago, around the time of Easter, had some programs about the Shroud of Turin, and it seemed almost pro-faith, just watching it superficially, but I don't know what your thoughts are on any portions of the special that you saw.
Yes, that is, I was rather dismayed and astonished. That's that the professor from the Department of Religion here, who was speaking on that series, said that the carbon dating that they was talking about then indicated that the shroud was a medieval in origin, and so he believed that the carbon dating, which was done in 1988, and said that the shroud was dated between 1260 and 1390. Was accurate, and he even said that there was no record of the shroud being in existence before the 14th century, which is absolutely nonsense.
Hmm. What are your thoughts in terms of the carbon dating of 1988?
Okay, well, fine. That is, when we heard where they were going to take this specimen from, we were appalled. Because there had been a group of carbon dating experts who met in Turin in 1983 to determine the procedure for the carbon dating. They didn't do that in 1978 when the shroud was out for public viewing. But anyway, the group set up a perfectly good scientific protocol for taking seven specimens from seven places, used two labs to study this and study the material very carefully before they did the carbon dating on it, which is a pretty good procedure. But shortly before they actually took the specimen in 1988, the scientific advisor for the then Cardinal at Turin, who was the custodian of the shroud, said, "We're going to throw out the entire protocol. We're going to throw out four of the labs and one of the techniques. We'll take one specimen instead of seven, and I'll tell you where we're going to take it from." I mean, you don't do science this way. But anyway, that's what they did and came up with this date for the shroud between 1260 and 1390. And my wife and I have been researching the shroud since 1979. We didn't believe that for a moment because we've been able to show previously that the shroud dated from the spring of 30 A.D. in the immediate vicinity of Jerusalem. The question is, how in the world would they ever get such erroneous carbon dating as that? So we and others looked into this because, you know, many people did not believe that. But anyway, we've seen conclusively that a single specimen was taken. It was taken from one corner of the shroud that had been rewoven in the 16th century. And what the specimen they did the carbon dating on was probably about 60% 16th century fabric, which had been carefully interwoven with the shroud to repair damage that had been done in 1532 by a fire in the shroud.
But if it's from the 1500s, which is the 16th century, then right. How is it that you would have the 1260 date to 1390 or whatever it is?
Okay, because there was a very careful reweaving that was done. It was called French invisible reweaving, which they could do at the time. And the weavers combined thread to thread in repairing it so that the reweaving that was done to repair the damage is virtually invisible. And so that this is the... I've examined, I've seen fragments taken from that specimen, which show interwoven with cotton fibers, which have been dyed to match the shroud, or that I've seen the x-rays taken of that area, and it's very evident that that area has been rewoven. So if you combine about 60% 16th century fabric with 30% first century fabric, you come up with the approximate date that they got with carbon dating.
Oh, I see. Huh.
So that they, we don't doubt the accuracy of the carbon dating. It was the accuracy of the specimen.
I see.
If you tested defective specimen, you're going to get a false answer.
Sure. The shroud during the Middle Ages, which, by the way, I understand that there's documentation that the shroud showed up in 1357. And after that, I mean, we've known where it's been, right?
Yes. So it showed up in Leroy, France in 1357 and has been under constant observation since.
Right.
But program on CNN, it stated there was, professor stated there's no history of the shroud before the 14th century. That's absolute nonsense.
Huh.
The shroud is repeatedly documented in many ways, all the way back to the first century.
Well, it just the work that you and your wife have done, there was an icon that was painted in the 500s. And
right.
When that icon, the face on that icon is compared with the Shroud of Turin, then I understand that the points of congruence are so high between the two that it would basically hold up in a court of law very well that this was based on that. In other words, the icon was based on the face and the shroud, and that goes back to the 500s, which is hundreds and hundreds of years before the 1300s. Tell us about your points of congruence on those two.
Okay, fine. As, when we had first heard about the shroud, and I'd never heard about it in spite of being a student at Duke University for 13 years, it wasn't until I saw the face on a book cover that that was my first acquaintance with the shroud. And so, you know, we got interested in photography as my main hobby, and that was immediately intriguing. Anyway, the shroud was out for public viewing in 1978. And the scientific studies were done at the time, and a lot of ideas were coming out, speculations in the media about this. You know, was it medieval or ancient or even possibly authentic? But we weren't sure until we saw this icon, or actually one of my colleagues here saw this icon in St. Catherine's, and it was so striking.
Which is a monastery in the Sinai or something?
St. Catherine's Monastery, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That my friend asked the monk where that came from. The monk said, well, that's painted from the Shroud of Turin. I shared our early work with this friend, and he immediately registered that and brought back photographs of this icon and the story, and that intrigued my wife, who's my co-researcher, and myself, and so we set to work trying to find out how you do accurate comparisons. We couldn't find anything, so we developed a image analysis technique we call polarized image overlay technique, by which we...
You even patented in this, I understand.
Pardon?
You created a patent for this.
Yes. Well, we didn't want to patent it too much because we wanted other people to use it. anyway, we published on that, mm-hmm. and actually, as you can see this for yourselves on our website. We have a website which shows this overlay pattern by which we compare the two images. And so by using the legal forensic criteria, we can determine the relative validity of two images. Interestingly, some Italian researchers have just done a repeat of some of our studies on 7th century Byzantine coins, which have a depiction of Jesus' face on them. We picked this up, too, and determined these images on these gold coins are incredibly accurate. They're actually icons done in gold. But anyway, this group recently redid this. You know, this bunch of scientific investigators in Italy, and they said they there's only one chance in a billion times a billion that the shroud was not the model for that image on the coin.
Wow.
So we've had some serious checking on our observations and validation.
Sure. Well, just going back though to the specific example of the icon that you got in St. Catherine's Monastery,
right.
Which goes back to the 500s.
Yes.
How many points of congruence are there between that and the face on the Shroud of Turin? And How would that compare in a court of law? How would that stand up?
We determined, as we say we, my wife and I work on all of our work comparisons together, about 180 points of congruence between that face and the shroud face. In the court of law, it takes only 45 to 60 points of congruence to determine the same face. So we feel that forensically, that we have hard evidence that the shroud image is very well known and was the basis for many early images and icons of Jesus.
Wow. Okay, now you said you had a website. Do you want to go ahead and give us the website?
Yes, right. It's shroudcouncil.org. That's just shroudcouncil.org. That's all one word.
Okay, great. Now, yes. I want to quote an attorney and an author named Mark Antonacci, who wrote a book about the shroud in 2000. He said this: if a medieval artist put the shroud together, then look what this forger would have had to accomplish. Quote: such an artist would have had to have knowledge of light negativity, light spectrometry, microscopy, radiology, human physiology, pathology, hematology, endocrinology, forensics, and archaeology. In fact, even with all the technology available to us today at the dawn of the 21st century, the shroud's unique characteristics still cannot be duplicated. End of quote. Am I to understand that it really wasn't until the late 20th century that some of the machines have even been invented, some of the technologies have come into place that have even been able to show that much more how authentic the shroud is as the burial cloth of Jesus?
Yeah, yes, that's quite correct. Now, I quite agree with Dr. Antonacci, whom I know, that is that they it's been totally impossible because there's so many facets to the shroud, and the shroud is the most intensely studied single object in existence.
Of any kind.
Lots of sciences have been trying to explain this or to prove it or disprove it and this sort of thing, but that is that they still can't explain it. But we can tell from the, our examinations that it's a complex radiation image. And that's that the what we feel the shroud indicates. That's what we can date when it occurred. That is about between 30 and 36 hours after the death of the individual, the body abruptly dematerialized, as it is abruptly shifted from matter to energy with the release of this complex radiation. When I say complex, as we can see X-ray skeleton on the shroud as well as surface image. And so this was a vertically directed radiation, which radiation does not ordinarily do, just sufficient to produce this image on the shroud. So we think that that Jesus deliberately designed, if you will, the shroud as a witness to the both the crucifixion as well as the resurrection.
So in a sense, it's almost like a Polaroid, if you will, or a snapshot of the resurrection at the very moment it happened. Poof.
Yes, right. Well, it does more than that. That's what it is. It's that it was formed at that very moment that they have to call it resurrection. There's no other good explanation for what makes a body dematerialize abruptly.
Wow.
Anyway, it shows the resurrection, but it also graphically in that single image shows all the suffering, the beating,
yes,
the blows, the crown of thorns, and shows a dead body, but is abruptly changing. And so that the image on the shroud is an image at the moment of the resurrection.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's so interesting is I remember one time, and this is quite a few years ago, I was browsing at some books in a religion section at a secular bookstore, and I saw some of the books against the shroud, and some of the theories that they came up with to try and explain it away paid indirect homage to how great this this thing is in terms of its scientific qualities, pointing
right
to Christ. I mean, one of them said something like, this thing is so brilliant that only Leonardo da Vinci could have created it, and he did so by crucifying a man. Oh, wait a minute, sir. This was found a century before Leonardo da Vinci was even alive. So that theory's
right.
Gone.
Oh, yes, right. No, there have been almost an endless series of theories and explanations and so forth of people trying to discredit the shroud. As we say, the shroud...
10 seconds less.
The shroud is good news for a lot of people, but it's bad news for some. And, if you've got other theories or ideas or, notions about Jesus, well, the shroud provides a very solid evidence that Jesus was a real person. He was really crucified.
Yes. Okay, shroudcouncil.org for more information. Dr. Alan Wanger, thank you so much for being with us. God bless.